Brother Cato for the splendid introduction. And I can say that we've had a very, very energizing song service. You know, when we come together, our main purpose is to edify. But not only sometimes do we need to be edified, we need to be energized. Because some of us get in a little slump. This kind of singing really will stir you up. And I said tonight, if the singing, with the dynamic song leaders we had, if that singing didn't move you tonight, you evidently came to the service tonight DOA. You figure that out. I hope that before the message is over, I hope you don't leave at a DO, what would that be, dead on departure. I hope not. But anyway, the singing was just outstanding, and we appreciate so much these men that prayed and sang before us. You know, I was feeling really good with all of them up here. I thought they were going to stay through the whole thing. I feel kind of lost now with them going back to their seats. I was feeling somewhat like the man that was grooming his mule for the Kentucky Derby. And he was grooming his mule, getting ready for the Kentucky Derby. And somebody asked him, he said, what are you doing to that mule? I'm getting ready for the Kentucky Derby. He said, well, man, don't you know that that mule wouldn't stand a chance in the Kentucky Derby? And you groom him with that? He said, I know he won't stand a chance, but what I'm thinking about, just look what kind of distinguished company he's going to be running in. You know, that had a lot to do with it. I had a distinguished group up here, and I was all with them, and now they've gone off and left me. But we have to do what we have to do, and I certainly appreciate that. This arrangement, I appreciate the Sequatchie Valley Brethren for planning this and for the way that you've all blended in together to cooperate with them. This is a beautiful demonstration of cooperation and love and mutual respect for your sister congregation. I pray that this spirit will always exist among you and that working together is the best way. I've been preaching the gospel for many, many years, and the brethren have taught me that they know different ways to work rather than together. Sometimes brethren would rather work around you than to work with you. Yes, sir, they'd rather go around your program. Some brethren got it so bad that they see you coming down the street. They find business over on the other side because they don't even want to be around you. That's not very pleasant, is it? Some brethren will work against you. Some brethren try to work under you and get you a little position. That's not very pleasant. And so when brethren work with one another like you have this evening, it deserves a moment or two of commendation. Brethren, I've even known a brethren to do another kind of working. And the most unpleasant kind of working that I've ever had the privilege of, well, you can call it a privilege to be involved in, is that brethren not only that will work around you, work under you, and against you, we got a few brethren got enough nerve to try to work on you. And of course, when that happens, you really got a problem. But we've had nothing here tonight but a demonstration of love for one another and a common love for the common cause of Christ. This is what I brought you all together from your various congregations. And for this, we commend you that you would, dispense of your services tonight so that you could all be here to join in with us. And we hope that you continue to be with us the following nights as we go on through with the meeting. Now, we realize that our time is far spent. And we also realize that you have to get your rest and get back to your job tomorrow and school and whatever. So we will try to bring your lesson as briefly as we can, but at the same time, we want to give you enough information that will make you glad that you came, make you more knowledgeable than you were perhaps before arriving. Now, in this audience, we hope and pray that we have not only members of the large church, I'm sure the greater portion of it are members of the large church, but we're hoping that such an occasion like this has motivated you to invite your friends. Hopefully there are some friends of yours here tonight that are not members of the Church of Christ. And if you're here tonight and are not a member of the Church of Christ, we want you to know that you are our honored guest. You really made our evening. Actually, you're one of the main reasons that we're here. But we're getting something out of it. We're being energized and we're being edified. But we want you to understand what the will of the Lord is. And we want you to know what this so good that brought us together from the various congregations. What is it that's holding us together? What is it about the churches of Christ that will make us do such a wonderful thing? Just recently, the churches of Christ engaged in the One Nation Under God program, where millions of people are hearing the gospel for the first time, are reading the gospel for the first time. Brethren had gospel meetings all over this brotherhood. The evangelistic spirit is at an all-time high. And people are learning about that wonderful institution that Jesus purchased with his own blood. And we want to continue that. We want to say something tonight to stir you up. You that are members of the church and you that are not members of the church of Christ, we want to stir you up and get you more concerned about Christ and about that church for which he died. You know, sometimes as members of the church of Christ, we kind of let the fact take it for granted, and we kind of lose some of our love, like the church at Ephesus. They had left their first love, and they need to be admonished and repent of that. And we have some in the church who are not as excited about the Lord's church as you have been in the past. And I hope that I can rekindle that excitement, because the Lord's church has not changed. It's just as valuable and as precious as it has ever been. And just maybe that your mind has slipped a little bit, and you don't realize just what a blessing you have. Man one time got tired of living in a certain neighborhood. He got tired of the house that he was living in, and he got to the place that he just couldn't didn't enjoy it. He decided to sell it. And he didn't want to go through the hassle of trying to sell it himself. He turned it over to a real estate man. Man that was an expert in selling houses. So the real estate man went to work and began to make advertisements, put advertisements in the paper to various places about this house. And the man that was selling the house happened to pick up his paper one day and began to read. And he read about this house and what a wonderful home it was and the location of it. And how that even in the future that this property might go commercial, and if it does, it will bring so much money and all that, and the various advantages, how close it was to the school, to the hospital, and all of that. The more he read about his house, the more he liked it. And he began to look at that. I didn't realize my house was such a wonderful place. Matter of fact, the more he read, he got excited. He got on the phone and called the real estate man and said, "Cancel that thing. I'm keeping my house." But you know, it took that to get him to realize what he had. Mm-hmm. And every now and then we have to kind of stir one another up and help us realize what we have. And the best way to get brethren to realize what they have, and the world to see what a blessing we enjoy as members of Christ's church, we've got to let them know exactly all about it. We can't be cute and proper about the Lord's church. Some of our brethren have gotten so cute and so proper about the Lord's church until people just don't really know what it is and the value that it is to them and how much they need to be members of it. Many people think that the Church of Christ is just another denomination among denominations. And we've even got some brethren, that's what their ambition is, to try to turn the Church of Christ into a denomination. Because instead of teaching its uniqueness, they don't have the courage to stand up and tell people about it, how different it is and how unique it is. They want to try to bring it down to something that, like those things that men have built. Now, I want you to kind of help me out a little bit. Now, if you say amen, kind of bow your head, that let me know that you understand what I'm talking about. And the quicker I see you understanding, the quicker I'll be through with this lesson. But if you act like you don't understand, I'll be here all night. So there you go. Kind of let me know if you understand what I'm talking about. But we do have some brethren that they just don't want to tell it like it is. We must let the people know about the Lord's church. Matter of fact, that's my subject tonight. Why I am a member of the Church of Christ. And I don't intend to pull any punches. It's wonderful. And we might step on a few toes as we explain why we're members of the Church of Christ. But I intend to let people know the church had its greatest growth a few years back in the 60s and in the 50s. When preachers stood up and told it like it was, was not so much concerned about hurting people's feelings. I don't mean that we shouldn't preach the truth in love, but we need to tell people what the truth is and speak it in a way whether they can understand it. And you're going to speak it so sweet and so nice and so quiet, your people won't know what it is. They just think, well, it's just another church, another denomination. Oh, but it's more than that. You know, I learned a lesson about preaching. And I got that lesson from Jonah. Not when he first was called. He wasn't ready to preach when he was first called, because Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh and tell that message. It was a very damaging message, a very hard message. He was to go down to Nineveh and tell those people of Nineveh that in 40 days God was going to destroy Nineveh. That was a message of condemnation. And of course, he didn't care anything about the Ninevites. He just didn't want to go down. He just didn't want to preach. And of course, the Lord had to go to work on him. You know the story. I make it real short so we can get into our lesson. And he had to go to a training school. And now, later years, the brand had developed what they call schools of preaching, you know, where they get fellows ready to go out and preach the word. Well, God had to take Jonah to the school of preaching. He took him to the whale belly school of preaching. He got him down in the belly of that whale, 3 days and three nights, a quick course down there. And when he got through with him and delivered him on land, Jonah was ready to go to Nineveh. And you're talking about preaching. He went down there and he preached it. He did not try to pull any punches. He didn't go down there with a little sweet sermonette and you know, a little sweet sayings to please everybody. He didn't go down there book reviewing. He could have went down there with a book review. I've come to you people in Nineveh, and I want to have a little lecture with you. I've written a book since I come out of the whale's belly, and I want you to hear it. It's concerning the nature and the characteristic of whales. Now, he didn't go down that country. No, sir. He could have brought a good lesson on the nature and characteristic of whales. He knew a lot about them. As a matter of fact, he had inside information on the whale. But the problem is, that was not the message that God wanted him to bring to them. He wanted them to tell those people that Nineveh in 40 days would be destroyed. There was not even any hint of mercy there. And he preached that message with such force until it moved the king, and the king came off his throne. And he went down in sackcloth and ashes and declared a national day of mourning. And matter of fact, the whole Nineveh repented, and God saw that they had repented. And God had mercy on Nineveh. And he saw that they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And of course, the Bible tells us that a greater than Jonah is here, that Jesus has come into the world. He's left his mighty gospel, and he wants men to repent. He wants men to be baptized. He wants men to become members of the church that he established. And so we believe in just go on and tell it like it is and let people know the truth about it. Why I'm a member of the Church of Christ. Now, some of these reasons that I give you are things that I knew before getting in, and others are things that I've learned after getting in. That's the beauty of the Church of the Lord. It just gets better and better the longer you stay in it, and the more you study, and the more faithful you work in it, the better it gets, because the Church of Christ was designed, actually it was designed to demonstrate some of the wisdom of God. You know, God is so wise, it's beyond our imagination to comprehend the wisdom of God. But then the Apostle Paul said that one reason that he gave us the church, that it might reveal unto us the manifold wisdom of God, the many-sided wisdom of God. If you study the Lord's church and all of the beauty and the things connected with it and the blessings that are involved in it, you can see how wise God is. And so it's a wonderful thing to talk about. And don't misunderstand me. And when I get to talking about the Church of Christ, naturally there can be no Church of Christ without Christ. And we're not trying to preach the church and leave Christ out. But you cannot preach Christ without preaching his church, because they are so vitally connected. As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons why I am a member of the Church of Christ. And that is for the fact that Christ is the head of that thing. You know, it's very important who's the head of something. The Bible presents the Church of Christ as a spiritual body, somewhat similar to the human body. You know, the human body has the head, and then there's the body. And the Bible tells us, Colossians 1:18, that Christ is the head of the body, and that in all things he may have the preeminence. Ephesians 5:23, it says, the husband is the head of the wife, so Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Ephesians 1:22, have put all things under his feet, and given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. The Church of Christ is the body of Christ. I'm a member of the Church of Christ that I might enjoy the blessing of having Christ as head over me. The only way that he can be your head, you have to be in what he's the head of. And that's what makes the Church of Christ. You know what really makes it? Christ is the head of it.
Amen.
When he used the human body as a comparison, the most important part of a body is the head. Oh, you can have a magnificent body, you can have muscles, and just a perfect body, but if your head is mentally retarded, you have nothing with it. Am I right about that?
That's right.
Great big old strong body, mentally retarded head. And so on the other hand, if your head, your head is genius, and your body is frail and weak, you can still accomplish much because of the head. The head is the most important thing. And that's why I'm a member of the Church of Christ, because he's head over the body. And Paul said, as the husband is the head of the wife, so Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Have you ever thought about the significance of that? If you are fortunate enough to become a member of the body of Christ, which is his church, then you have the assurance that you can be saved because the one that's running this thing and operating this thing is Christ. He's the head over anybody, even physically speaking. The thing that's going to take care of you is your head. And if it's weak, you're going to have very weak protection. But if your head is strong and good and wise, then it can take care of your body. Am I right about it? You understand what I'm talking about?
Amen.
And when the Bible says that Christ is the Savior of the body, I want to be saved. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because I want to be saved. And I found no other way to be saved. And I get a bonus. Not only as a member of the Church of Christ am I saved, but I also have the head that I know that can save me not only in time, but in eternity.
Amen.
I think I want to talk on the level where some of the children can understand. The precious little girl on the front seat there, she talked to me and said she wanted to hear me preach. And Anne said, I've never heard a black preacher preach. And I want to hear it. Well, bless her little heart. She heard it in white. Now she's going to get it in black. She said, well, I heard it in black and white. But I didn't think it was sweet that she's up on the front row there. Well, I want to get her to see the beauty of it. I want to bring it down where she can see the advantage of being a member of the Church of Christ, why I'm a member. When I say Christ is the head of the church, if you don't understand that, let's just use an illustration. Suppose you're in Chattanooga, and you're going to try to make a run across the street. It's a very busy street, very dangerous. You take a chance that you're going to try to dart across that, and you get almost across, and you stumble and fall. But when you stumble and fall, then you're really in trouble. And if you're not careful, cars are moving in on you. Now, if you're going to be saved from sure destruction by one of those automobiles, you know what's going to have to save you? Your head. That's right. I'm showing you this to show you the advantage of being a member of the Church of Christ. He's the head over this body, the body of Christ, his church. He's running this thing. And I don't have to worry about my salvation because Christ is running. And so if you were to fall down out there in the street, almost across, first thing can happen. Now you all know that the human body, the way it's made up, you've got the head and then you got the spinal cord with all the nerves, you know, running down the very parts of your body. It's kind of a communication system. And we know it happens, but it just happens like lightning. And nobody says it, but we know what's going on. When you fall down in that very dangerous place, you know what would happen? Your body would radio to the head and say, head, I just failed. Now you don't hear that, but that happened just like that. Well, now, why did the body report that to the head? Because the head is the only thing to do anything about it. If the head can't handle it, goodbye, body. That's right. So what happens? When it falls, and the body says, head, I just fell. And so the head radios back to it and say, feet, you better move. And the feet gonna move. And the feet radio back to the head, say, head, I ain't getting out of the way fast enough. Head radio back to the hands, say, hands, hit it out. You go over to the ditch. Car goes one way, you go another. Now what saved you? Your head. Is that right?
That's right.
A good head is hard to beat. And Jesus Christ is the head of his church. And I'm so thankful to be a member of that church because we follow the orders of the head. And it's good for time and it's good for eternity. I not only like the head, I like the headquarters.
Amen.
Well, you can't beat it. The Church of Christ has the greatest headquarters on the face of this earth. You say, well, what do you mean by headquarters? What is headquarters? Headquarters, in any language, is wherever the head is. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Now, the head of the Church of Christ is in heaven. It's vitally connected to his church. It's a spiritual body with the head in heaven and the body down here on earth. And we're getting our orders from the head in heaven. And I love the fact that the headquarters of the church is heaven. Headquarters is wherever the head is. Who's the head of our country? President Bush. He's the head of our country. Where is he? In Washington. Why? That's the headquarters. That's where he carries out his business, doesn't it not? And so headquarters are very vital to anything. And I'm so glad that the headquarters of the Church of Christ is heaven. I base that on the fact that the headquarters is where the head is. And 1 Peter 3:22, the Bible tells us that Christ has gone into heaven. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And it's just something about knowing that heaven is the headquarters of the Church of Christ that makes me very, very happy to be a member of. Now, there are a lot of different churches in the world today. In America, there are 400 or 500, I suppose, different kind of churches. But my friend, there's only one church that has its headquarters in heaven.
All other churches have their headquarters somewhere down here on earth. And when you're in a church whose headquarters is down here on earth, then you're in real trouble. You're earthbound. And because I tell you why you're in trouble. Nobody can go or rise higher than your head. When you go to headquarters, then you have to enter the role. I don't care what it is. If it's a civil matter. If I were to do something so outstanding that I would call the attention of the President of the United States, some civil thing that I would do that's so outstanding that the President of the United States, well, I want to recommend, I want to give him a Medal of Honor. We want him to be nationally recognized because what he did was outstanding. And then I go up to Washington, and then I go there where the President is, and maybe the men will take my picture with him, and I'll shake his hand, and he'll say some words of commendation to me. Then he'll put a medal around my neck, a ribbon with a medal on it around my neck, and I smile, and he smiles, and the men in the Congress, they all stand, you know, in respect of what I've done. But I want to know this. Once that's over with, then where do I go next? Well, probably back home is no higher if I can go with it. Where else can I go in the United States any higher than going to the President, the headquarters of our country, and being commended by the President? When I get there, that's as high as I can go. Mm-hmm. Can't go any higher than the headquarters. I said that to say this. The Church of Christ headquarters is in heaven. It's the only church in the world whose headquarters is there. Many churches acknowledge their headquarters. The Catholic Church, their headquarters is Rome. If a devout Roman Catholic does something that catches the attention of the Pope of Rome, and he'll want to maybe give him honor and send for him to come to Rome. And that person goes to the latter Rome, that devout Catholic, and he gets a chance to go before the Pope, and he gets down and he bows, maybe kiss the Pope's toe, whatever that they do. And he makes a little sign, the Pope makes a sign off and pat him on the head, and he'd be seen taking a picture with the Pope. Well, you know what? Once all that happens, where can that Catholic go then? Now, but back home, he can't go to heaven because he done been to headquarters.
All right.
I don't want to be in anything whose headquarters is this side of heaven.
Amen.
I want the headquarters to be, I want my final destination to be heaven. And many denominations are headquarters ready. Right now, I believe at Cleveland, Tennessee, we've got two headquarters of church. Church of God headquarters, so-called Church of God, and Church of God of Prophecy. They got their headquarters right there. When you go there, you go to the top of this place. Friends, I want to be a member of a church whose headquarters here on earth. And you know, a lot of people think that John the Baptist established a church. If John the Baptist had established a church, it'd be a messed up church because his headquarters would have to be on earth. Am I right about that? Matter of fact, when those people, John's followers, became an interest of people leaving John and going to Christ, in the third chapter of the book of John, they went to John and told him that John, the one that was with you beyond the Jordan, that he's baptized and all men are following him. They're leaving you and they're going to him, John. And John made it clear. He said, a thing cannot be given to man unless it's given to him from heaven. But John was saying, it was not given to me from heaven to have a church. I was not intended for me to hold on to these people I baptized. I was just getting them ready for Christ. And he says, he is on the earth, is earthly. I'm earthly. But he that is from heaven, Jesus Christ, he was from heaven. John showed it. Said, I'm just an earthly preacher. But Christ is from heaven. And so if John had a church, it had to be an earthly church. And those who were members of it couldn't get no farther than the earth. I want to be in something that'll land me in heaven, don't you?
Amen.
Christ is the head of his church and is in heaven. And it's a beautiful thing. As a matter of fact, a man one time learned this and he complimented it in a beautiful way. Years ago, brethren used to be able to get what they call a special rate of ministers. If you travel by train or bus or whatnot, they had a ticket that you could buy at a cut rate. But in order to get these tickets, and get this cut rate for traveling, you had to fill out a form. And the form would ask, what's your church? What's the name of your church? Or your denomination, whatever it is. And it asked all kinds of questions about it. Maybe how long you've been preaching and things like this. And then one thing, place they say, and where's the headquarters of your church? One of our brothers, ministers of the Church of Christ, wanted to get one of those books where he could travel cheap. And so he filled it out. And he told the truth about everything. Everything they asked, he gave it a scriptural answer. Because that's one thing about the Church of Christ. It's a scriptural church, and we have a scriptural answer. Everything that we do in practice, we have authority for it in the Word of God. We either have general authority or we have specific authority. I don't think Brandon ought to be doing anything that they don't have authority for.
Amen.
That's right. Sometimes we don't have authority for some books. We do not have specific authority, but we have general authority. We're supposed supposed to sing, is that right? And you can't sing without some song. Will you keep them in your head or will you put them in a book? You got authority for them. Am I right about it? And the Bible tells us they're simple. The Bible doesn't say it's got to be in a school auditorium, but it's all right. And you have authority for it, you can't assemble without a place. Is that right? In other words, he gave authority for everything. And that when they asked him, said, where's the headquarters of this Church of Christ? He wrote down there, heaven. And that was it. And a few days later, he got his book. They sent him his traveling book, cut a book. And not only did the man send it to him, but he had a little note down there. P.S. Guess what the note said? Say, you got a mighty fine headquarters. That's right, isn't it? Oh, yeah, he saw that. Yeah. And so, I'm a member of the Church of Christ because I like his headquarters. I like his head. And I'm a member of the Church of Christ because I find no other way to be saved. I find no other way to be saved. The only way that a person can be saved, even by Christ, it is through his church. Mm-hmm. Christ so tied the church to salvation that you can't have salvation for Christ without having his church. It's just like when God saved Noah. You know, a lot of people, they try to get by and get around Christ's church. Somebody said, I'm not saved by any church. I'm not saved by anything. I'm saved by Jesus. And the church don't save you. Jesus saved you. That's true in a sense. But then what they're overlooking is the fact that Jesus does his saving somewhere. Sure, it's Jesus that saved. But where does he do his saving? Mm-hmm. Where? People don't think about that. God saved Noah. And you know, we sang the song, Amazing Grace. I'm a member of the Church of Christ, so I can get the benefit of this amazing grace that we sang about. This grace that brings salvation, saving grace. You cannot separate saving grace from the Church of Christ to save your life. The grace of Christ and the Church of Christ go hand in hand. 2 Timothy 2:1, Paul told Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ. The grace that saves is in Christ. Now, what is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is giving you what you need rather than what you deserve. Now that's what I need. I need grace. I need that which I do not deserve, but I really need. And I can't make without grace. That's why I'm a member of the Church of Christ. It's grace. You know, some people, they get so stern and they get so stiff and they think they're so good and so right that they just want to, they just say, well, I just want justice. I just want justice. But you know, you don't realize what you're saying when you say you want justice. All of us are so weak and so sinful. What we need is mercy, and what we need is grace. One man, one woman, one time, I think, she went and had a picture taken. And when she came back from the photographer after the picture was developed, she came out fussing at him over the pictures of the photographer. He's not good. He messed me. He really messed me. He didn't do justice to me. He didn't do justice to me. She didn't realize what she was saying. He didn't do justice to me. And she's fussing, so somebody looked at her and said, he just didn't do me justice. They looked at that and said, you didn't need justice. You need mercy. That's what I need. We need grace. We don't need justice. And so I'm a member of the Church of Christ because I need grace. And of course, the grace that saves, it is in Christ. That's where it is. And a person cannot be saved without it. A good example of that, you know, the Bible said things written aforetime were written for our learning. In the 6th chapter of the book of Genesis, when God decided to destroy the world with water, I think about the 14th verse, if my memory is correct, it declared that Noah found grace in the eyes of God. God was about to give Noah something that he really didn't deserve, but something that he needed because the whole world was going to be destroyed with water. And the Bible says that Noah found grace in God's eyes. Now, if you watch that grace, you're going to find that something else is going to come into play. This God that gave Noah this grace, this God said, I want you to make that ark of gopher wood. And Noah built that ark, and at the proper time, God said to Noah and his family, go you and your family into the ark. I find that grace encompassed that ark. That ark became a part of the grace. And Noah could not enjoy the grace of God and stay outside of the ark of God. Am I right about that? Amen. The ark and the grace went together. And that's the way it is. We're saved by grace. We're saved by the grace of Christ. But the grace of Christ and the Church of Christ go together just like the grace that God gave Noah and the ark. If Noah had stayed out of the ark, he would have missed the grace. If you're outside of the Lord's church, you do not have his grace. Not the grace that's saved. It's in Christ. It's in his body, and it's in his church. Why are you a member of the Church of Christ, Brother Brinkley? Because I want to utilize that grace. I need grace. I need that, you know, and grace is giving you what you need rather than what you deserve. If you don't understand that, Let me give you a beautiful picture of what grace is, giving you what you need instead of what you deserve. Suppose one of you men were to come home one evening and see your house on fire, and you rush to try to see what you can save, and it's just about all going up in flames, and then your wife comes out staggering out, and the house is being burned, and then a fella jumps out of the back of the house, and he starts across the street, and your wife says, this man raped me, and he set fire to the house, and you look back and see the man, and he's running, and he runs across the street, and when he gets out in the middle of the street, he gets hit by a car, and you go out there, you see him, and he's bleeding, and an artery is cut, and every time his heart beats, you see some blood coming out. Now you're looking at him, he's a rascal, he's done a terrible thing, and in your mind you say, he really deserves, he needs to die for what he did. He deserves to die. But then something moves on you, and you see him dying, and he's raped your wife, and you set your house afire. If you go out there, you know how to do it, you put a tourniquet on it, and you stop that blood from flowing until the doctor can get there. You know what that is? That's grace in its purest sense. You've given that rascal what he needs rather than what he deserves. You see that? So all of us have sinned. Not us, all have sinned. Some more than others. I doubt there's anybody here tonight that don't have a skeleton in the closet. Is there anybody here tonight that has been so good in your life that everything you've ever done, you don't mind it being flagged before the people? Everybody's got their closet. Every one of us got something that we're ashamed of, and we hope it never come out. If you don't want it to come out, then you're going to have to get the grace of God applied to it. Is that right? Because if not, every work is going to be brought forth in the judgment, whether it's good or whether it's evil. The only thing that don't show up in the judgment on your record, it is that which has been covered by the grace of Christ and the blood of Christ, which works in cooperation with grace. There's no one thing that the Lord saves us by, not grace alone, not faith alone, but these things in cooperation with your obedience. That's the thing that saves us. So I'm a member of the Church of Christ because of the salvation that's offered in Christ. I've got to come to a conclusion. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because that I need the benefits of the cleansing blood. And you know what I appreciate so much about this blood? You get an initial cleansing of the blood when you first obey the gospel. And then if you happen to sin through loss of weakness or ignorance, at the end of the church, you have a continuous cleansing of blood. You can get the second. You see, God got two plans to deal with your sins. He got the Acts 2:38 plan. That's when you're 8 and 7, never been saved. He takes care of your sins there. If you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you can get the remission of your sins. And when he does that, then he adds it to the church. And then he got the 8:22 plan, Acts 8:22 plan. When you sin after becoming a member of the church, you repent, confess, you know, that you might be prayed for, that you might pray, that you might be forgiven. That's what Simon the sorcerer had to do. Once he got in the church and he sinned, and Peter told him that wanting to buy the Holy Spirit, this gift of money, so that he could lay hands on people and give them power through the Holy Spirit, Peter let him know you have no lot nor part in this matter. You're the God of all of bitterness and the bond of iniquity, and to repent. But he didn't have to go back into the water of baptism to reach the blood. The blood was available in Christ. In other words, I need that. I need more than been forgiven for my past sin. I need something where I can be forgiven of sin that might come into my life in the future. Not that I'm planning to sin, but if I do, I need that. I don't know about you, but I need it. And that's the only way I can have that as a member of the Church of Christ. False teachers have tried to take this out of its context. In 1 John, it says, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all sin. But that's talking about children of God. A sinner, a ragged sinner, never been a Christian, he can't just confess, Lord, I sin, and get forgiveness of his sin. He can't do that, because between him and forgiveness is the waters of baptism. He must arise and be baptized to wash away his sin. But when a man is in Christ, and he happens to sin, then he could get forgiveness of that sin without going into the water again. And you know, that's what the denominational preachers want. That's why they mess with the plan of salvation. They want some kind of plan. If a man going down in an airplane, he's not a Christian, they want to be able to say, Lord, have mercy, be saved just like that without baptism. But I'm sorry, if you're out of Christ, you have a disadvantage. No sinner can be saved outside of Christ without doing what Christ said in Acts 2:38 plan. He's got to repent, and he's got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins. And he cannot be saved without doing what the Lord said. And baptism being between him and his salvation, that puts him at a terrible disadvantage. But if a man is in Christ, he can at least ask for forgiveness in a very quick moment, and he has an advantage over those that are out of Christ. But I need something quick. I don't know about you. Sometimes I get in a jam, and I need something quick. I need some forgiveness quick. And I'm glad to be in Christ, because the blood of Christ is here, continuously cleansing us. Oh, in the church of Christ, wonderful.
Amen.
In conclusion, we just scratched the surface. You want to know more about this, you come on to the meeting, and we just scratched the surface here. There's so many other things. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because I want to be saved, Rudy Day. Yeah, I read something about Matthew 15:13. It's very scary. Jesus said, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. And he wasn't talking about cabbage plants and tomato plants, ladies and gentlemen. He was talking about doctrine and commandments of men. He said, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. And that means then, if I'm a member of the Church of Christ, I will be saved rooting day. Why? Because God planted the Church of Christ. Even though Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, Jesus also said, the work I do, if my Father does it in me. And therefore, whatever Jesus did, it was God doing it through him. And Jesus one time was praying to his Father, the 17th chapter of the book of John, talking about those people who become his church. He said, Father, what's mine is thine, what's thine is mine. And if the Church of Christ is Christ's church, the Church of Christ is God's church. It belongs to God by creative right. It belongs to Christ by purchase right. And God not going to root up nothing he planted. And he didn't plant but one church. And that's the Church of Jesus Christ. And I don't want to be rooted up. And therefore, I plant my feet firmly in the Church of Christ. And I'm counting on that foundation that I'm under. One of these days, this whole world is going to reel and rock like a drunken man. Men are going to be running to the rocks and to the mountains and say, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that's on the throne. Men are going to be in the sand bogging down, my friend, going into the eternal hellfire. But I don't want to do that. I don't want that to happen to me. I want to be on something that'll stand. I don't know but one thing that's strong enough to stand the shock of the judgment. And you know what that is? The thing that the Church of Christ is built on. The foundation of the Church of Christ is rock bottom, is hell proof. Our friend, it's judgment proof. Yes, it is. It'll stand when the heaven and earth shall be no more. Jesus said, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that rock, our friend, was the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Sometimes he's referred to his confession is the foundation. Well, that's good enough for me. Then on another occasion, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 3:11, no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation of his church. And the only way the Church of Christ can fail, Christ will have to fail. The only way the Church of Christ will go down, then you have to prove that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. That's an impossible task. You said, you said enough, Brother Franklin. How do I become a member of this church? How can I be saved? It's very simple. Several steps that you take. I don't have no one-step plan of salvation. And any time you hear him preach, I don't care how smart he is. I don't care how many degrees he may have. But if he stands up and says, all you have to do is just believe. Then one more step, just receive Christ. By faith, I pray this little prayer. He's a false teacher. There's no one-step plan of salvation. There are several things in the plan of salvation.
Amen.
You got to hear the gospel, Acts 15:7, believe it with all your heart, saying scripture. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3. Confess the name of Christ before men, Matthew 10:32. And then be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins. And the Lord will add you to his church. Acts 2:47, the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. Somebody said, Brother Bailey, why is there so many things you have to do? I didn't make this plan. If I had made it, maybe I'd cut it down to one thing to satisfy you. But I'm not in authority. I'm under authority. I didn't have to preach it like this. And there are several steps. You got to take them. You got to have faith. You got to repent. You got to confess the name of Christ. And you must be baptized. And I can't change it. And it takes all of these things together to save you. If you're in the water drowning, and somebody happens to have an inner tube, and they have it tied to a rope, and they're in the boat, and they throw it out there to you, and they grab you, grab the inner tube, and the rope pull you in, and then they reach and pull you into the boat. You don't go off and say, oh, thank God for the inner tube. I was saved by inner tube only. No, you were not. If that rope hadn't been on that inner tube, you'd have been a gone, is that right? And it could have been the rope and the inner tube, but if that man hadn't been back there, and you'd have been messed up. In other words, it was the inner tube, it was the rope, and it was the man in the boat, and it was your willingness to grab hold. That's the way it is with the plan of salvation. If you're here tonight, one of the blue will accept that plan. You can be saved tonight. And you don't have to look for no church to join, because Jesus takes care of that for you himself.
Amen.
He will add you to his church tonight. When you come out of the water of baptism, he'll add you to it. You'll be on the rock. You'll be saved. He'll become your head. And you'll have that grace that you need to make it. Are you here tonight? Willing to come? If so, we invite you to do it, Father.